Welcome to this edition of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Avila, and it is Friday, August 31st, the last day of the month. And you know what that means? That means football kicks off tomorrow. Not just any football, but college football, but not just any college football, Bluffton Beaver football. And not only does Bluffton's football team kick off their season tomorrow, we got teams in action today, right now, who are kicking off their seasons. My co-host Trent Mass, as you can tell, is absent by my side. He is actually in Muskingum, Ohio, with the rest of the men's soccer team. They kick off their season tonight at 7 against Pitt Bradford. The women's soccer team already kicked off their season. Their game against Ohio Christian at Ohio Christian kicked off at 5. If you want scoring updates of the women's soccer game, make sure to follow the Beaver Dam at the Beaver Dam 961 and the Bluffton Athletics page, Bluffton _ sports, for updates on that game. Also kicking off their season today, right now, is the women's cross country team. They are hosting, I should say, the cross country team in general is hosting the Back to the Nature Preserve meet that is going on right now. So if you guys are listening to this show right now, flip it on over to the WIT 96.1 app. You can listen to me live on that. Throw in your headphones and walk over to the Nature Preserve and watch your fellow Beaver cross country runners participate in that meet. The women started at 6 and the men's will follow at 6:45. The volleyball team is also kicking off their season tonight. They actually are starting right now as well. They are in Ada at Ohio Northern, but they play that other purple school, Defiance. So hopefully the volleyball team comes out and just spikes Defiance into the ground. But I'm not showing favoritism here. Maybe just a little. But anyways, along with the football team starting their season off tomorrow, the men's and women's golf team will also tee off their season tomorrow as well. The men's golf team is at the ONU Invite, and that will be the entire weekend. They'll have the first, I believe it's the first 18 holes on Saturday and the second 18 on Sunday. The women's golf team, like we mentioned earlier on Monday, the women's golf season is more heavily weighted in the fall because that's when their conference championship is held. They are at Mount St. Joe, participating in the MSJ State Line Shootout at the Miami Whitewater Forest Golf Course. And like for the men's golf, that will be held on Saturday and Sunday. So if you want to venture on up to Cincinnati to watch the women's golf team, go on ahead. The football team kicks off their season tomorrow afternoon at Alumni Field in Dwight Salzman Stadium against the College of Worcester. That kickoff will be around 1:30, but if you tune in to 96.1 The Wit, we'll have your live pregame coverage of the game tomorrow around 1:15. Speaking of tomorrow's game, I currently don't have a permanent color commentator for football, but for tomorrow, I have two very special guests, and I'm pleased to have them in the booth with me. Joining me in the color commentating seat will be Floyd Kodrovic and a Bluffton alum. I don't know if you follow us on Twitter. Like I mentioned, it's the Beaver Dam 961. We kind of had a reach out for a possible special guest, a special football alum. He said he was going to be at the game. And not only will he be at the game, but he might be in the booth next to me and Floyd. And that, I don't know if I should say it. Should I say it?
Say it, Tyler, say it.
Okay, I'll say it. Stop. Our special guest will be none other than Micah Roberson. Yes, you heard it first here. Micah Roberson. Hopefully, we'll be in the booth with Floyd and I to call the game on Saturday. I'm excited. That game, that broadcast team right there, spot on. Like, you got Floyd's technically a current football player, but he talked to Coach Krebs and got approved to be allowed to come up and broadcast the game with me. That's what Floyd wants to do with his future career. He wants to be a sports broadcaster, and he can't really broadcast a football game if he's down there on the sidelines. And then you have a football alum, a football great here from Bluffton, Micah freaking Roberson. spot-on football knowledge. I'm not saying Floyd doesn't. Floyd has a lot of football knowledge. But Micah, oh, that guy, nothing to say but great things about Micah. So I'm excited to have those two great guys in the booth with me tomorrow. 1:15 pregame, 1:30 kickoff. I hope you guys tune in. I don't hope. I want you guys to tune in because this game is going to be fantastic. But that's enough about me. We have a lot of things going on today in the show. Well, actually, two things, technically. We are talking about volleyball. Coach Arnell is entering his 14th year, or should I say he entered his 14th season since their game already started. And then Coach Krebs. He is entering his first year as the head coach of this football program after Coach Denny Doral stepped down over the summer. So we'll have two interviews from Coach Arnell and Coach Krebs later on. But we are going to take our first break.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
And we are back here with the Beaver Dam. To start off this second segment of the show, since I'm here alone, sad tweet, I will discuss volleyball, but first, here is my interview with Coach Arnell from last Friday. How has the team looked during this preseason?
So far, I think we're a step ahead of schedule in regards to having a lot of returners back. And I would venture to say that we probably have more depth in higher level play in the gym than I can't remember the last time we've had where, you know, scrimmages are really, really super competitive. So that's a good thing.
So you mentioned you have a lot of returners left, or back, I should say, but you lost Becca Turney and the all-time digs leader and 2016 Defensive Player of the Year, Sydney Muller, to graduation. How will the 2015 HEAC Freshman of the Year, Aaron Weisgarber, and breakout talent, Bethany Martini, how will these two, along with the returners, help you bounce back to reach and potentially win the HEAC this year?
Well, Aaron's on track to potentially become our all-time assist leader here at Bluffton. So we have the engine to the car is there. Beth, you know, only had a handful of kills as a freshman, and maybe five, and you know, then last year as a junior had over 450 kills. And so those two are our captains. They lead by example and are good in the classroom and on the court. You know, the loss of Sydney Muller was a really good defensive player and a solid passer. And Becca Turney played a lot of matches and sets for us over the years as well. But that position, if there's any position, is probably our deepest, where you know, I've felt we have a couple kids that have been in the program that are in back row role positions that on many other teams in the conference maybe would be their libero. And so that's a position of strength for us. And so we have you know, a couple seniors in Abby Rohrbach and Courtney Zimpfer and Casey Clark is a senior that provides some depth there as well. And on the flip side, you know, we have some younger players and even some freshmen that are pushing for time at those positions too. So competition's a good thing. You know, we'll miss Sydney and Becca, but I think there's players in waiting and that have been playing that can step into those bigger roles as well.
Who will be an underclassman to watch out for this year? Now, you don't have to give any names, but are there any underclassmen to possibly watch out? There'll be a star on the varsity squad.
I think, you know, you look at kind of who we returned last year and about midway through the season, Sarah Heidinger came into the speed of the college game and it caught up with her, and she did some good stuff for us down the stretch, and that's kind of fostered some more confidence within her. You know, I would say we have two incoming players in Brooke Klayman, a defensive specialist, and Matty White, a middle right side hitter. That both of them are pretty high skilled level players coming in, and you know, there's a few others that you know are pushing and are close, but those two I think are pushing kind of our starters a little bit, and we'll be in the mix here and there.
Now the HCAC has you sitting third. What's your reaction to the preseason placement?
Oh, it's always nice to you know get that recognition from coaches. A lot of it is based upon you know previous year success and past history, and so I anticipated us to be in kind of one of the top four positions based on what we have coming back, and you know we know Transylvania returns all but their libero as well, and they were a young team, and so you know what parts did they get to add to their returners? We know Hanover who. It's been Bluffton and Hanover the past so many years that really duke it out. They lost maybe four or five starters, and one would have been a senior this year that's not suited up. And so, you know, the cupboard's not bare for them by any means. But, you know, Hanover and Transy and Rose Holman has a new coach, and they return quite a bit from last year as well. So, you know, I think the top four are pretty close. There's not a big degree of separation between any of them. Each team has its own style, but I think you know other teams in the conference as well. You know, maybe return quite a bit or have some nice incoming players that we know of. That you know, it'll be an exciting year in the Heartland for sure.
Oh yeah. So you're entering your 14th year coaching volleyball here. What can we expect from this year's Bluffton volleyball team?
I think that, you know the team mantra is play together, and this year we're using the hashtag be courageous, and so you know embracing the challenge, competition, and daily practice, and hoping you know how can we take the next step as a program. To get back to the NCAA tournament to try to get past the first round again, you know where can we go from there? So I think you'll see a gritty team that plays together, not only the six on the court, but the others that are on the sidelines that we play as one unit. And I think when we're playing well, it's fun to watch.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's all I got, Coach. Now, yes, I know. I gave Trent crap on Wednesday for having a long interview with his head coach, Coach Elvert, and I was talking about how short my interviews were, and that one was fairly long. It was about 6 minutes, but hey, who cares? I got great stuff. You guys got great stuff. You got to listen to Coach Charnell talk about this year's squad. He has eight seniors this year. Two of them are captains, as he mentioned, in Beth and Aaron. He also brought in seven freshmen. He mentioned two of those freshmen have pretty high skill levels, and they will be fighting for spots and playing time on the varsity squad. It is interesting to me that the Hanover situation that he was talking about, they lost four to five starters, and one would have been a senior this year. So that's going to be an interesting thing to look out for come the start of the HCAC play. So right now, Bluffton is in the middle of their game against Defiance. Check in on the Beaver Dam's Twitter page and the Bluffton Athletics page for scoring updates. They have two more games this weekend, both back in Ada at the Ohio Northern Tournament. Tomorrow, they play at 10:30 in the morning against Thomas More, and then again at 2:30 against Case Western Reserve. Bluffton's first home game is this Tuesday, September 4th at 7 o'clock against Indiana East. And then this coming weekend, Bluffton will once again host the Sommer Center Spectacular on the 7th and the 8th, Friday and Saturday of next week. They will bring in heavyweights as in ONU from the OAC, Heidelberg from the OAC, Thomas More, and DePaul from the NCAC. Those four teams will be in town for a great weekend of volleyball. The Beavers will open with Thomas Moore on court one Friday evening at 5. We will take our second and last break of the evening before we dive into football and my interview with Coach Kreps.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Your home for Beaver Athletics. 96.1 The Wit.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. Last but not least, we got football. I got the chance to interview Coach Kreps on Friday of last week, or he'll go around and probably say that he was the one who interviewed me because he kind of stole my recorder, but that's neither here nor there. I still got a great interview with the man. And here it is, my interview with Coach Kreps.
Describe how you felt when the higher-ups gave you the head coaching job of the football team.
Well, I think everything kind of came out of nowhere, just to begin with. I wasn't anticipating Coach Doyle, leaving. So it all kind of came as a surprise. And then, for him to leave and, for me to be promoted, it was a pretty quick turnaround. So, a lot of emotion in that about 36 to 48-hour window. But, definitely excited. That's probably the biggest emotion I felt, was just pure excitement about, kind of reaching, was a goal of mine, to become a head coach. So to be able to reach that status and then just, have the ability now to start implementing things mm-hmm. in place was very exciting.
How has the transition from being an assistant coach to being the head coach been?
The transition has been pretty good. Fortunately, I got a good group of guys around me with my coaching staff. You know what I mean? Which has allowed the transition, I think, to be smooth. You put good people around you that you trust. That they're going to get the job done. It takes obviously a lot of stress off of my plate when that happens. So, very happy about that.
Have you stayed in contact with Coach Doral? And if so, has he gave you any advice being head coach?
I think it's probably kind of on the job training, especially being a first time head coach. We've shared some texts throughout. Hey, little pointers, or where's this, where's that? What'd you do in this situation? How did you handle this? But overall, it's kind of one of those things that, I'm trying to just figure a lot of it out on my own for the first time. We've changed some processes and different things, and I think the program's taking a different direction right now, to kind of make it my own. And so some of those things are just decisions and processes I got to figure out on my own. So
what does it mean to you and the team that senior Isaac Ziegefuss was named preseason All-American?
Well, it's great, I think, for the university as well as for the program, just to have that type of recognition. Any sport, it brings a lot of attention to the program and to the university. So, it's a great honor, but at the end of the day, it's a preseason honor. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of work that, he and his team need to do on the field to make it, the team goals, so we reach our team goals at the end of the season. You know, the individual honors are always great. There's no doubt about it, whether it's all conference, all region, all American, you know, but we were really, you know, the focus is where are we going to be as a team, because right. all that is secondary to the team.
So tell me a little bit about how the preseason has been. Has there been any breakout freshman recruits who has caught your eye or that could be starting on varsity come next week? And also, how has Brandon Koch adjusted to being the full-time starter? I know last year he was thrown in as a starter when Colby got injured. So tell me a little bit about how the preseason has been.
You're really laying it on me here with these two-parters.
All
right. That's a lot. Anyway, you know, I think the freshmen have adjusted very well. You know, we've been able to retain a lot of the freshman class, which I'm really excited about through these past 2 weeks. You know, there are guys I think that have stood out, but we'll keep their names to the side right now and let that play out as the season develops here. But you know, I think it's a really good class. There's a lot of great depth in this class, you know, for the future. You know, and kind of we'll see how some of them play out here moving forward in the next couple of weeks. But definitely, we're very excited about the freshman class. Part two. Brandon has definitely matured, you know, in his understanding of the offense, what expectations are out of the position. You know, I think he came into this season as the incumbent, and for him, his mindset, I believe, is definitely different than it was last year when we came to camp, when he kind of assumed to be the backup. And, you know, so it's, you know, the quarterback is the leader of the offense. I mean, especially on our system, there's a lot of expectations given to that position. And, you know, I think he's taken it all in stride. You know, those six games he started last year kind of laid the foundation and gave us a good barometer of what he needed to work on in the off season and what he needed to improve on so that we could, you know, be in a better situation. But, you know, I like where he's at. I think he has improved in areas that may have been weaknesses last year. And, you know, I know he's itching just to get out there so the game's, you know, for it to be real. So,
oh, yeah. One last question. So we're almost a week out from the first game. What can we expect from the 2018 Beavers come September 1st versus Worcester?
Well, I hope that, you know, the fans in the stands can see a team that plays with high energy, high effort, and, you know, and with our, you know, the coaching, it's going to be all execution. You know, those are the two things. We're going to be a disciplined ball club. And, you know, be hopefully very opportunistic. You know, I think we're going to have a very, very strong defense based on how camp has progressed. You know, we have some working around a couple of things right now on the offensive side of the ball. But overall, you know, we do return a lot of guys from last year. And, you know, it was a year that was probably misleading with our record of where we probably were as a team by the end of the season. So, you know, I would say expectations for us as coaches are very high, and I think the expectations for the players are high. So, you know, hopefully we can live up to the billing, though.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, the football team will kick off their season tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. But if you tune in live to 96.1 The Wit on your radio or your phone or on your computer, pregame will start around 1:15, 1:20-ish. And I'll be joined in the booth by Micah Roberson and Floyd Krajovic. I'm excited to see what tomorrow brings with this football team, with this game. I'm excited. I know I was looking at the weather. It does not look too good. Around noon, there's about a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. So hopefully it's just showers and rain. We can play in rain, but we can't play in thunder and lightning. But yeah, I hope by the grace of God this storm passes us. Like, we just get rain, we don't get anything heavy, and we can play this game. Because I'm excited. I'm ready to get in the booth. I'm ready to call some action. I'm ready to see some action. So that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. I thank you for listening, and I encourage you to come back and listen to Trent and I on Monday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter if you haven't, at The Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, and I thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit. Roll Beaver.